Where did you go? Dinner. Oh, there's good news.
It's time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what is up or down. Black or white.
Legal.
Or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into...
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
I learned a lot from Richard Nixon.
But when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot tell a lie. I'm sorry.
I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
Donald. 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 Have you guys seen the president? Donald. Donald. He sounded pretty angry from the tweet that he just sent. Donald. 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 He said he'd make the country great. At least that was his promise. Hey, Ivanka, it's Randy. Have you seen... Thanks. And now that it's a mess, you'd think at least he'd try to calm us. Donald. 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 There's riots all around for an injustice that's systemic. And suffering and sadness from a dangerous pandemic. I sexted Jared Kushner and I drove by Mitch McConnell. I looked on every golf course and I checked every McDonald's. His Adderall kicks in, and since it makes him kind of hyper, he acts like he's a big shot. But he's scared of what is diaper. Donald. Donald. Donald!
Donald!
Donald! Guess who's hiding in the basement? It's that coward,
the Bunker Boy.
Who's dividing? Cause it makes him feel empowered,
the Bunker Boy.
A commander-in-chief might address all the grief and what's happening out in the streets.
But he's only a clown, so he hides underground and he sits on the toilet and tweets.
So be careful not to scare him. He's a flyer.
The Bunker Boy.
At the height of the protest outside the White House, President Trump was moved to the bunker.
I wonder if there's Wi-Fi and a special tanning station. I bet it smells like hamburgers and quiet desperation. I hear they had to childproof the bunk bed that they got him. Does he have a little ladder? Doesn't need one. He's a bottom.
I am your president of law and order. I will fight to protect you.
Who's that Russian civil rights off? It's our hero. The Bunker Boy.
Bunker Boy. Bunker Boy.
Who's that Russian with the lights off? Watching hero. The Bunker Boy.
Bunker Boy. Bunker Boy.
Oh, he loves to berate every city and state, because you know how he likes to act hard. Then he heads for the hills and he Netflix and chills while he calls out the National Guard. For the camera he mugs as he calls them all thugs while they beg him to stand up and lead. Then he sends in the cops for his own photo ops and he acts like he knows how to read.
Bro. Who's that Conjure? Who's that Crascon? Who's Maloney?
The Bunker Boy.
Bunker Boy?
Bunker Boy.
Who's that Dodger with no mask on? It's that phony.
So he lies there alone and he gabs on the phone to his girlfriends like Putin and Kim. He's embarrassed because they're all laughing at us, but they're all only laughing at him.
All only laughing at him.
Donald.
Who's that hiding in the basement? It's that coward.
I will solve the problem.
The Bunker Boy.
Cooperation, not contempt.
The Bunker Boy.
I will fight to protect you. I am your president of law and order.
Don't fall for that bull.
I will fight to protect.
Go to sleep.
So it's a tough thing, okay, that we're going through right now. It's a tough thing, but we have, believe me, we have strong sympathy. Like, we have sympathy that is so it's a very powerful sort of sympathy that we're showing. We're showing great sympathy. And Mike, you'd say the call was, it was a good call. It was a perfect call. We called the man's brother. It was a brother. I don't, like, they didn't explain to me if it was just a random black like, you know, they call him brother, or if it was actually the biological brother, okay? But it was a brother on the phone, and it was a strong conversation. I you know, we shared great sympathy, okay? And, you know, then I explained to him, I said, but we have the greatest economy in the history, I would say, of money, okay? Not just, we're talking, even when, you know, when they were doing beads and like trading chickens for things, even then they didn't have as strong an economy as we had. And then we had the COVID, okay? The invisible enemy, the nasty invisible enemy, trademark theme park, under shovel, we're constructing it. It's a beautiful thing. But we had the greatest economy, a healthy people, okay? Healthy people. And this happened. And then you have people destroying our cities, and we need law and order. Very strong law and order. Maybe even the special victims as well. We need all the law. Remember Criminal Intent? Not even that. You probably liked Criminal Intent. It's a terrible show. But you might need Criminal Intent on this. But I told the brother on the phone, you know, whether he was related or just, you know, random black, that he's okay. It's going to be okay. We're doing great things. We're going to get the country back. Okay, we're going to get law and order back. And we're going to get Jerry Orr back. We're going to do that as well. You don't think we can do it, but believe me, we're going to do it. So I had a nice conversation with the strongest sympathy, and it was good. So we'll see what happens.
Hopefully George is looking down right now and saying, this is a great thing that's happening for our country. This is a great day for him. It's a great day for everybody.
This has been a dark and heavy week. There have been protests now in all 50 states. Our president is still getting his Bible thumped for that embarrassing photo session at St. John's Church on Monday. The White House today tried to explain why the orange chicken crossed the road, and Business Suit Barbie tried to spin it like this.
Through all of time, we've seen presidents and leaders across the world who have had leadership moments and very powerful symbols that were important for a nation to see at any given time to show a message of resilience and determination. Like Churchill, we saw him inspecting the bombing damage. It sent a powerful message of leadership to the British people.
Like Churchill? I mean, when Churchill said we shall fight them on the streets, he wasn't talking about his own people. And even though she just basically said it was a photo op, they continue to insist it was not a photo op. But let's review the facts here. He walked to the church. He stood in front of the church. He never went in the church. Never spoke to anyone from the church. Didn't examine the damage to the church. Held up a Bible upside down. Didn't read from the Bible. Didn't give a speech. Posed for photos and left. I don't know. That sounds like a pretty textbook definition of a photo op to me. He treated it like taking your kid to see Santa at the mall. You got the picture? Okay, let's get the hell out of here. But Trump, of course, cannot admit to any kind of mistake. He tweeted, "People liked my walk to this historic place of worship." Who liked it? I'm not sure. People liked it. Here's when you know you have a problem. You have a problem when even the 600-year-old host of the 700 Club is not impressed.
He said, "I'm ready to send in military troops if the nation's governors don't act to quell the violence that has rocked American City." As a matter of fact, he spoke of them as being jerks. You just don't do that, Mr. President. It isn't cool.
And he knows cool. He's one of the original Muppets. Team Trump is also trying to refute claims that protesters were attacked by police to make way for Trump's walk of shame. The police say they used pepper balls and smoke bombs, not rubber bullets and tear gas, to disperse the peaceful protests. Right, it's Granado. Trump has suggested that he might invoke an old law from 1807 to send in active duty troops to keep the peace. That apparently didn't sit well with his own Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, who probably ended his time in the administration today.
"The option to use active duty forces in a law enforcement role should only be used as a matter of last resort and only in the most urgent and dire of situations. We are not in one of those situations now. I do not support invoking the Insurrection Act."
And you're fired.
As of right now, Secretary Esper is still Secretary Esper.
Trump's former defense secretary, Mad Dog Mattis, in a scathing statement released last night, Mattis said, "I have watched this week's unfolding events angry and appalled. The words equal justice under law are carved in the pediment of the United States Supreme Court. This is precisely what protesters are rightly demanding. It is a wholesome and unifying demand, one that all of us should be able to get behind. You're right, Jim. We should get behind them. Element of surprise. Then we marinate those suckers with some pepper spray. You know, like it says in the good book. Mattis accuses Trump of dividing the American people and uses history to point out why that's bad. Instructions given by the military departments to our troops before the Normandy invasion reminded soldiers that the Nazi slogan for destroying us was divide and conquer. Our American answer is, in union, there is strength. That's powerful stuff. Though, Trump has his own views on the Battle of Normandy.
Very fine people on both sides.
Now, Mattis's harsh words are especially surprising because after he left the White House, he said this.
I will not speak ill of a sitting president.
Evidently, he will speak ill of a president lying in a bed covered in cold curly fries. Trump immediately fired back on Twitter.
Probably the only thing Barack Obama and I have in common is that we both had the honor of firing Jim Mattis, the world's most overrated general. I asked for his letter of resignation and felt great about it. His nickname was Chaos, which I didn't like, and changed to Mad Dog, dot, dot, dot. I gave him a new life, things to do, and battles to win, but he seldom brought home the bacon. It's true, we had all these great wars. He didn't bring me home a single slice of bacon from the Middle East. I don't know why. And it's just not the bacon either. He never brought home the sausage, the ham, not even hash brown, or as I call it, potato meat. Uh-oh. Now I'm hungry. Somebody tear gas the protesters. We're walking to Denny's, guys, just like Winston Churchill did.
Now, if you think Trump's tweet was stupid, you're wrong. It was stupid and wrong because Trump claimed he fired Mattis. But Mattis resigned. And Trump also claimed that he changed Mattis's nickname to Mad Dog, but he did not.
President is also said to be fuming about reports that he was taken to an underground bunker during the protests on Friday night. So today he phoned his foxy friend Brian Kilmeade, who tried very hard to give Master an out on this by pinning it on the Secret Service, but Donald the Dents didn't get the hint.
Sometimes the Secret Service even tells the president, I can't do this. So you tell me, Mr. President, they didn't say to you, you have to go downstairs. My responsibility is your welfare. They didn't limit you at all in the House?
Nope, they didn't tell me that at all. But they said it would be a good time to go down, take a look, because maybe sometime you're going to need it.
Oh, he just went down to take a look because sometime maybe he's going to need it. But go on.
I go down. I've gone down two or three times, all for inspection.
All for inspection. That's why he went down in the middle of a massive protest outside his house. He needed to inspect the place to make sure they stocked enough horsey sauce in the cupboard.
Things were so bad that the Secret Service recommended the president go down to the bunker. We can't have that in our country.
And with all this going on, president has been tweeting up a storm about what a gift he is to black Americans. This morning, he wrote, I've done more for black Americans, in fact, than any president in U.S. history, with the possible exception of another Republican president, the late, great Abraham Lincoln, and it's not even close. Lincoln ended slavery. Trump thinks it's possible Lincoln did more. This would actually be funny if it wasn't at all.
President is a recluse cowering in a bunker behind an 8-foot-tall fence like J.D. Scalinger. Next time he appears in public, he's going to have 10-inch fingernails and a Unabomber beard. This is a moment of national anguish, heartache, and suffering, unlike any we've seen in recent memory. Or as the president put it on Friday.
Today is probably, if you think of it, the greatest comeback in American history. But it's not going to stop here. It's going to keep going.
But this isn't a comeback yet. It's not a comeback at all. When the Knicks are losing by 30 and hit a three-pointer at the buzzer to lose by 27, the DJ doesn't play. Y'all ready for this? There's no question the May jobs report was good and better than expected, and also a little misleading. I mean, a lot of the jobs that were supposedly created are jobs that were lost to the pandemic being recreated. It's like bragging that you lost 3 pounds right after you gained 45 pounds. But to suggest that we're not mired in an unprecedented calamity is just deranged. Nearly 40% of households with incomes of less than $40,000 have reported job losses. Meanwhile, U.S. billionaires have become $565 billion richer since March 18th. That's right, billionaires actually got richer during the pandemic, while the poorest households lost jobs. We're living in a dystopian film written and directed by Bernie Sanders. See it, don't see it, who cares? But one thing we can all agree on, $6 for popcorn is insane. Trump is celebrating because things really have been just fine for his wealthy patrons and the corporate husks he chums around with at the Mar-a-Lago omelet bar, which, knowing Trump, is probably BYO eggs.
We provide the peppers. The pepper, we just have the one pepper. But don't worry, it's a good pepper. It's like a red or a green. It's a yellow. We have one yellow pepper for everyone at the omelet station to share.
And while millions of Americans have been in the streets protesting systemic racism and police brutality, only to be met with more brutality from the police and a pandemic has killed 110,000 Americans and unemployment is at its highest point since the Great Depression, Trump is still bragging about the stock market.
Our stock market is almost, it's just short of an all-time high.
Of course, Trump and his buddies are gleefully celebrating the soaring stock market. Our deeply unjust system works for them just fine, inflating the wealth of the most privileged people in our society, even in a time of abject misery and crisis, while crushing the poor and working class. It's rigged to protect the privileged and the powerful, and the same is true of policing. Last week, you might remember, Trump had this to say when he gave a speech threatening to unleash the America's military against American citizens.
One law and order, and that is what it is. One law. We have one beautiful law.
Okay, first of all, I don't know why you need to be creepy toward the law. Beautiful law sounds like a show on USA about a group of swimsuit models who become public defenders. We the jury, find the defendant. Sexy. Second, it's not true. There isn't one law and order. We know that because anyone who did even a fraction of what you have done would be in jail by now. Never mind the serial tax fraud or profiting from your public office or the 10 allegations of obstruction of justice in the Mueller report. Prosecutors have already named you in an indictment as the guy who orchestrated a criminal scheme to pay hush money during an election to cover up an affair. We have the check with your signature on it. You literally signed the evidence. Even OJ knew better than to make it clear the Ford Bronco was his. There isn't one law and order. There are two separate and distinct systems. One is a system where the law serves people of privilege and order preserves their privilege, where the police work for them. And the other is a racist system of predatory policing that systematically devalues black lives and which acts as an occupying force in their own communities. And now we're seeing that system unleashed on mass demonstrations across the country, with one video after another making the rounds of police descending on peaceful protesters and subjecting them to brutal violence.
Have you seen this video of the old man in Buffalo, the protester getting assaulted by police? There's an old man,
Martin Gugino,
is out protesting. He gets shoved by cops. He falls to the ground. Blood starts gushing out of his ear. Or does it start gushing it out of his ear? Because the national spokeswoman for the Republican National Committee, a woman named Elizabeth Harrington, posted a completely nutty conspiracy theory that claimed the old man was using prop blood attached to an elaborate device. I guess he used magnets to get the police to shove him, too. And our president, who's never one to pass on a crackpot story like this, wrote,
Buffalo protester shoved by police could be an Antifa provocateur. 75-year-old Martin Gugino was pushed away after appearing to scan police communications in order to black out the equipment. I watched. He fell harder than was pushed. Was aiming scanner. Could be a setup.
It's a put-on. It's a put-on. It's a put-on. It's a put-on.
The theory here is that a 75-year-old man was using his cell phone to scan police communication equipment in order to black it out. I feel like anyone who's tried to Zoom with their grandparents knows there's no possible way that's true. But our president, it takes a special kind of monster to see a peaceful 75-year-old man shoved to the ground by police so hard he bleeds from the ears and take the side of the concrete. But he does, our unfounding father.
Let me get this straight. This 75-year-old man is an anti-fascist, which you somehow consider suspicious. He was somehow able to fall harder than he was pushed, fake a fractured skull, and spontaneously bleed from his ears, all the while operating a secret scanning device in order to black out all police communication equipment. Man, those jitterbug phones are getting really sophisticated.
This big button is 911. And that one with the smiley face calls my grandson. Oh, and the red one down here with the hammer and sickle starts a populist revolution.
Trump is desperate to turn this thing around. So desperate, in fact, that the White House is considering a Trump speech to the nation on race and unity.
Good afternoon. In the history of our great country,
no issue has been more fraught with trouble than race relations. It has been the original scourge of our country's history that we have long fought to defeat, and we defeated it. We defeated it a long time ago, but sometimes you gotta keep fighting. Throughout our history, great leaders such as Frederick Douglass, Harriet Tubman, and Martin Luther King Jr. You gotta remember the Jr., because it's like with Don, my son Don Jr., I say, you gotta remember to say the Jr. because you're not me. These great heroes have fought to develop a greater sense of unity, equality, and prosperity for all Americans. It's true, they fought for not just African Americans, but they fought for everybody. Not a lot of people know that, but like, they wanted people all to be great. And even though Martin Luther King Jr. was very popular and defeated racism, occasionally things happen that are tough for our country to deal with, and we have to revisit our problems that have caused us so much pain. There's still pain. There's still, and believe me, I feel the pain. There's still a lot of pain in our country, and we've got to fix it. The recent violence, okay, violence against such bad violence against certain members of the African American community recently have troubled me greatly, and I intend to do strong things to combat it. We're gonna fight. This is a new war. This is a, just like the COVID was a war, this is a war, and we're gonna do it. We're gonna fight it, and we're gonna win. I have put together a commission of great African American leaders and people of other faiths and groups to find a way to combat our recent problems with this scourge of racism and tension. I fully back our police and law enforcement, who are doing a tremendous job dealing with very tough things. We have to support our law enforcement. These are still our great people, and I support them entirely. But we gotta find a way to, like, you know, get them to work better. It'd be nicer to get more nicer together. Leading the commission will be Candace Owens, one of our great African-American thinkers and a leader of the conservative movement. This Candace Owens is such a talent. Okay, she's actually going to be in a new reality show where she dates. She picks among 10 cops who have killed African-Americans, and then she dates one, and you see the racial harmony. Okay, that's... Love is the strength... Mike, love is... You always say this is the greatest way to overcome racism, right? It's the best way. So the show is going to be called Tie the Knot. It's a beautiful way that we can bring more love. I think you'd agree love is not always a bad thing. Joining Ms. Owens on the commission will be Raisin Ettinger, who were recently fired from Fox, as well as great people like Alan West, and other such luminaries in the African American community. These are such talented people we're bringing together that are going to do such great work for our country. We hope that through this commission, police, African Americans, and all Americans of all faiths, creeds, ethnicities, and other things will find a way to find common purpose and great prosperity in our country. All we want is, we had the greatest economy in the world. You didn't see any race problems then. Everybody was working. The best African-American economy ever. And not just African-American, everybody. Latin people, LGBT, right, Mike? LGBTQ people doing great. Asians, and then whatever race, cab drivers are. Everybody doing great. It was a great thing. So we hope with this commission we can bring greater unity, more love, stronger prosperity, and fulfill the dream that Martin Luther King Jr. had when he hoped that people of all faiths and creeds could come together and have a dream while they sleep together. Thank you very much. We're going to beat this. We're going to beat it.
It was 1 month ago today that President Trump said the total number of Americans killed by coronavirus wouldn't top more than 110,000 of us dead.
We'll be at 100,000, 110, higher than it, the lower level of what was projected if we did the shutdown.
That was a month ago today. The president said we'll have a total death toll in this country of 100,000, 110,000 deaths. We are over 110,000 American deaths already as of this weekend, and we're still losing 1,000 more Americans on average every day. But that fact hasn't stopped the president from repeatedly, confidently pronouncing to the American people that it's definitely, definitely not going to be as bad as it definitely is.
Now, we're going toward 60,000 people.
We're probably heading to 60,000, 70,000. It's far too many. One person is too many for this.
That number has changed, Mr. President. You said
it's 50, going up.
60,
now it's
60,
going up. 70, I used to say 65,000, and now I'm saying 80 or 90, and it goes up, and it goes up rapidly. And look, we're going to lose anywhere from 75, 80 to 100,000 people. That's a horrible.
Be it 100,000, 110,000. Now we're up over 110,000 deaths already.
Excuse me, I didn't want to speak today. I was having a great day. And then I hear, because we're going to Texas tomorrow to talk to great faith leaders, okay, like Pastor Black Guy, another black guy who loved Trump, and Joel Osteen, Bishop Don Magic Wand, all these people are going to be, it's going to be a great meeting of faith, of economic people, Steve Mnuchin is going to be there, and other great people. So we're very optimistic. The country is opening up. We're getting our country back. And then I hear this disgusting news that NASCAR, which, by the way, I'm calling it here, NASCAR is the new N-word, okay? I don't even want to hear that said. And by the way, nasty lady reporter who got a fake award, you're not allowed to say NASCAR. If I can't say your N-word, you can't say mine. So how does that, I bet you want to say it. How does that feel? Not too good. OAN, you can say NASCAR. It's okay. NASCAR is getting rid of the Confederate flag. They're banning it, which is, of course, anti-speech and very disrespectful to many of our great Southern people. And it's called our history.
The preceding show was recorded at Wave Farms WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.